الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يأخذ عني هؤلاء الكلمات فيعمل بهن أو يعلم من يعمل بهن صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Honorable and respected Mu'takifin, mothers and sisters in Islam, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we commence the month of Ramadan, especially when we commence our i'tikaf, many of us had a particular aim and an objective. Why am I making i'tikaf? What do I wish to achieve through making i'tikaf? Many of us must have set certain goals for ourselves. I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to achieve this and I want to achieve that. And probably, some of the common goals that most of us have set was, I want to become a true, sincere, abid worshipper of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I want to be true to my Allah. Allah is my Khaliq, Allah is my Creator, Allah created me to make ibadat. So I want to be true to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Probably, this is one aim and objective. Or probably, another aim and objective is that I must connect only with Allah. And I must become completely detached with mankind. I have no expectation for mankind. If I have any expectation from anyone, it should be Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Probably this was the second aim and objective of the month of Ramadan, and especially when we came to spend our time in i'tikaf. A third common goal would probably be that I want to become a true Muslim. A person that submits to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Subjugation and subjugation, that should be the whole of my life. And probably the fourth objective, common objective of every one of us was that I want to become a true mu'min. Iman must be saturated in my heart. Every aspect of my life, iman must be exemplified. Whatever I do with the spirit of iman. As the month of Ramadan is coming to an end, Eid is getting closer, and we try to assess ourselves. Did I achieve this aim and objective? Am I a true abid? Do I really worship Almighty Allah? Allah wants me to worship Allah. Have I really connected myself with Almighty Allah? And did I become completely independent of mankind and dependent only on my Allah? Did I really become a Muslim, having a spirit of submission and subjugation to Almighty Allah? And do I have true iman in me, where I would not compromise with anything that Allah wants me to do? Probably when we assess ourselves, maybe some of us may just feel despondent. We may just feel that we did not achieve what we came here for. There's no need for us to be despondent. These four aims and objectives, which we would try to get from the beginning of the Ramadan till the end of Ramadan, especially in the state of i'tikaf, we can achieve it in a different way. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told to the Sahaba, May أَخُذُ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. Who will take these advices Who will take these nasihat, these words from me, so that he may practice on these advices? Or if he does not practice on these advices, he would teach someone, impart it, propagate it, tell somebody else about these advices of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so at least that person can practice on those advices. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this announcement. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to impart something very, very important. So he didn't just say it. There's a psychological approach in this. I wish to tell something very important, who'll take it? But you don't tell them what it is. It creates an interest in the person. Now any person that is interested or really interested, he's the person that will come forward. From this we also understand, you don't just give advices everywhere. You create an interest in the hearts of the people to receive advices. And when there's interest in the heart to receive advices, those advices are going to be appreciated. This is one attitude we learn from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was there. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Ya Rasulallah, I'll take those advices. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was almost all the time around Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was most desirous of ahadith, learning ahadiths. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught his hand, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated few things. From this we also understand psychology of teaching. Have a personal touch with people. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did just give the advice. He caught the hand of Abu Huraira and then he counted 1, 2, 3, 4. He gave the advices. And when you have a personal touch with someone giving them advices, then firstly, the love and muhabbat, the bond builds up. Second, that the person will remember those advices because they were a personal touch with somebody that is most beloved. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave 4 advices. He mentions, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ وَالْوَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَخْنَ النَّاسِ أَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا أَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. 4 things that we are looking for. I want to become the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper. Who doesn't want to? Probably it's your wish and my wish. We may not achieve that, but it is our wish, our desire, our expectation. And that is the niyat, the intention we should make. If we don't achieve it, at least we get the ajar for the niyat that we made. We want to become the most independent person from people. That if we want to attach ourselves with another one, it's only with Almighty Allah. We want to become a true Muslim and a true mu'min. Just in 4 words, Nabiya Kareem told us how we could get all these 4 things. The first one, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ. You want to become the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper, stay away from haram. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ. Stay away from haram. Shariat emphasizes more on staying away from haram than doing acts of virtue. Acts of virtue is in its place. You do it, encourage. You get closer to Allah. But there's more emphasis in Shariat in staying away from haram than being acts of virtue. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked Ubay ibn Ka'ab, O Ubay, what is taqwa? What is the reality of taqwa? So Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala was a great alim and a qari of this ummah. Greatly respected among the sahaba. The fact that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked this question to Ubay ibn Ka'ab shows what is the caliber of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. So, Ubay ibn Ka'ab didn't just give an answer, he gave a practical example. He asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar, did you ever walk in a jungle? Did you walk in a forest that is full of thorns? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, yes. Ubay asked him, how did you walk? He said, I walked in such a way, I was careful with every step I take, perchance a thorn pricks my foot. Ubay radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that's exactly what taqwa is all about. The moment we come out from the masjid, we look around, the world is strewn with tons of sins. You look in the front of you, it is a sinful situation. On the right and the back, in front of us, everything is a sinful situation. How do you abstain from that? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, ittaqil maharim. Stay away from haram. One is general haram, and one is certain major sins that are common in our community and society, we should stay away from that. On one occasion, after the Fajr Salah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba. He asked him, did anybody see a dream? It was a habit of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If anybody would see a dream, they would relate the dream to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interpret the dream. So one particular morning, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, anybody seen a dream? That particular morning, nobody presented the dream to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, well, I had a dream. And the dream of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wahi. It is revelation. It's a very lengthy hadith. The hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif in the 28 Juz. In Kitab al-Ru'ya. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the part of the dream is that two persons came to me. Two beings came to me. And they took me on a very long journey. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refers to four horrific sights. He came across the first sight where one person was sitting, one person was standing beside the sitting person. The person that was standing, he had something like a gripper, like a scissor in his hand. And he was tearing the jaw of the person that was seated, tearing it open from the hadith, it comes from the corner of the mouth till the ear, and from the corner of the mouth going up towards the nose. Tearing the right side of the face open. And by the time when the right side was open, the person then would focus on the left hand side. Tear the left side of the face open. And by the time that left side was torn open, the right one was recovered again. And then again, it will happen repeatedly, the right, the left, the right, the left. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, soft in nature. Anybody that's soft in nature, see something horrific like that? You're uncomfortable. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, Ma hadha? What is this? The two persons told him, Intalik, intalik. Move forward, more for you to see. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu comes across a second sight. One person was standing, one person was lying down. The person that was standing, he had a boulder in his hand, a huge rock. He would take that boulder, the rock, throw it on the head of the person that was lying down. The person that was lying down, his head would crush. The boulder then would roll, go down. The person that threw that boulder, he would go and fetch the boulder, come back. And by the time the head of the person would be reconstructed, the person would take the boulder and throw it again on the head. Again, what a horrific sight. Uncomfortable. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Mahada, what is this? Again, the two beings told him, intalik, intalik, move forward, more for you to see. Nabi Kareem Sallam then comes across a third sight. He sees something like a cauldron, something like an oven, where on the top it is narrow, at the bottom it is broad, and it is filled with fire. And inside there is nude man, nude woman. And as the fire goes up, the flame of the fire, these nude men and nude women that are inside this cauldron, they would go up with the flames of the fire. And as the fire would come down, they would come down with the flames of the fire. Again, Nabi Kareem Sallam mentioned, what is this? The two beings told him, intalik, intalik. Move forward, more for you to see. Nabi Kareem Sallam then saw a fourth sight. There is a stream or a river of blood. There's one person that is swimming in the stream of blood, in the river of blood. Who swims in blood? Blood is thick, is uncomfortable, and swimming, and he's in state of total discomfort. He's trying to come out from the stream, and as he comes, there's somebody is way there, takes some stones and put it in his mouth and pushes him back inside the river and the stream of blood. Again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks, what is this? The hadith goes on, But I want to stop at this point, pause at this point, and refer to these four issues. Those two beings that came were two angels. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam. They took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam to show to him that what are sins and what are the consequences of certain sins. So that the ummah comes to know about it. These ahadithes are not meant just to instill fear. Generally people say when the ulama, they are known to drive the people direct into Jahannam. But the Quran says very clearly, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Then save yourself, save your fire, your family from the fire of Jahannam. If we know there's fire somewhere, you're not going to drive in that direction. You're going to put yourself into danger. When you know ahead of time, you'll appreciate it. You know you're not supposed to go in that direction. And exactly, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned us certain things so that we can abstain from it. Two beings, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Mikael alayhi salam, they told to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Nabi saw the first sight, a person sitting, person lying down, or a person sitting and the other one lying down, his jaw being torn open, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam said, that's a sin of those people who abuse their mouths. Either they speak lies, they backbite. That is the punishment that will be given. It's haram. This is what Nabi said, ittaqil maharim. Stay away from haram. And the staying away from haram, apart from it being a punishable act, when a person commits haram, he himself is already punishing his own self. Who benefits to haram? Nobody. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that the person that speaks lies, the person that backbites, abuses his tongue, that is the azab and punishment that he's been given. How common is this sin in our community? On one side we do acts of virtue, we fast in the month of Ramadan, we do ibadah, we exert, we ask Allah, Allah give us Jannah, Allah save us from Jahannam. But the amal, the action that we're supposed to be staying away from, that we don't do. The second, the person that was lying down, his head was being crushed. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, what is this? Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, Mikael Alayhi Salaam said, that this is, there's two interpretations to it. One is that person, that when Allah bless somebody with the Quran, he doesn't appreciate the Quran. Over a period of time, he's so detached from the Quran, that he completely forgets the Quran, and according to some muhaddithin, to the extent that he's unable to even open the Quran and read the Quran. Allah put the Quran in his head, then he did not value the Quran that is in his head. That's the kalam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is the azab and punishment given. Whilst Allah speaks about azab, but at the same time, if somebody values the Quran, then look at the ajr and reward. Somebody may question, so why Allah need to punish? Then the question, the answer is, why do Allah need to reward? And according to another interpretation, one person, Fajr time, he's sleeping. The Muazzin is calling out the Adhan. And he's saying, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. Salat is better than sleep. This person's head is heavy on the pillow. And he's saying to himself, my sleep is more important. That's the adab and punishment given to them. Allah give us tawfiq to change our lives. To bring about an understanding and become more obedient servants to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The third, those people that are in the cauldron, nude men and nude women, they're being burning in that fire. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that this is the azab of those people that engage in zina, adultery, fornication, immoral acts. That is the azab and that will be punishment that will be given to them. And the fourth, the person that's swimming in blood, in a stream of blood, river of blood, are those people that engage in riba, interest-bearing transactions. Look at these four sins. The sin of the mouth. The sin of being ghafil, unmindful in executing our duties to Almighty Allah in the form of performing our salah. Interest-bearing transactions. Evil and immorality. Zina, adultery, fornication. How common it is. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the first prescription to become an abid. Ittaqul ittaqil maharim takun a'bad an-nas. The hadith speaks, it is in an intensive tense. Not just an abid, a'bad. A greatest abid. Just stay away from haram. Sharia doesn't tell you to exert yourself in tahajjud. Make so much of tilawat. Do this. It is encouraged. But more emphasis is Sharia to stay away from haram. You do little acts of ibadat, but you stay away from haram, you'll ascend the height of spirituality faster. The second, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that you want to become the most independent person of people. You don't want to be relying on people. You know, many of our elderly people, they say, bhai, make dua, Allah don't make me muhtaj of anyone. Allah don't make me muhtaj of anyone. It's embarrassment, it's difficult. It's a burden on a person. So every one of us want to be completely independent from people, and if you have any dependency, it's only on Allah. How do you achieve that? Nabi Kareem gave a beautiful prescription. وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Be happy. Be content with what Allah decreed for you, your taqdeer. Whatever Allah decreed for you, you'll be happy with it. Sometimes, our dissatisfaction is because of not being satisfied with taqdeer. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala has given you a certain condition in life, you question that condition. Why me? Why it had to happen? Allah has given somebody a certain type of a husband, why I got that husband? A wife, why I got that wife? Certain type of children with certain conditions, why? Don't ask why, Allah chose it. Allah is Al-Hakim. He knows why He gave it to you. And just instead of asking why, say I accept. Then you'll see that you'll go to a second stage in life. One person is working for a boss. The boss tells him, go work in a warehouse. I'll give you so much of money, I'll give you a nice handsome wage, work in a warehouse. Little bit hard to work in a warehouse. Hold the boxes, you have to do this, you have to do that. So many things you have to check. But there's other places where he could get the job too. He could be probably working in an air-conditioned office. Now when he got the job, he's there in the warehouse, but he's asking to himself, why the boss put me here? Can't he put me there? Why? He's getting questioning why. He won't even be able to do his job. And he won't go to the master, that boss won't even see the work that he delivered to give him progress in the second stage. But the moment he accepts, the master put me there, the boss put me there, let me work. Let me prove myself. And then when the boss will see what he has delivered, now slowly escalating to a point, we'll be sitting in that air-conditioned office. You go to the second step, but the moment you ask why, you won't do the job, the boss will tell you, bye, carry on, I got a replacement for you, retrenched. Exactly in the same way, what condition Allah put us in, say I accept. Don't question. When you question, you'll be going down a deep tunnel and you'll be going through, swimming through a sea that is unending. You'll never come out of it. Don't question taqdeer. Submit. And the moment you bring your mind to that point, I accept. This is what Allah has chosen for me. Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah is all-wise. I may not comprehend the wisdom for what the condition I am in. But Allah knows best. So, let me just accept it and carry on. And brothers, one act of ibadat many people don't know. It's such an act of ibadat that is better than thousands and thousands of rakat of nafil salah. And that is, accept takdir. Just bring my mind to that condition. This is a solution to many problems. Don't question. Accept it. This is what Allah decreed for me. I need to accept it. And our ulama have mentioned, Radha bil qada wajib. To be happy with taqdeer, it's wajib. Didn't we learn in a maktab? That, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi, and then, wal khair qadrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. We just do it, verbalize it, but what's the haqiqat? The reality of that will only dawn in our life when we face challenges in life. But when you come to it, adopt all means to address the issues, but don't question Allah. La yus'al amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. Whatever Allah do, you don't question. Whatever Allah decrees for you, you simply accept. Third advice, Nabi Kareem SAW mentioned, you want to become a true Muslim? Then, ahsin ila jarik. Be good to your neighbor. Make ahsan to your neighbor. Be good to your neighbor. And this, you can do good to everyone else, but do good to your neighbor. And the reason why Nabi SAW mentioned neighbor, sometimes when you think with each other right next to one another, certain issues of discomfort do come up. So not, yeah, the hadith not talking about tolerating. Tolerating, that is there, you should do. But on top of that, despite certain discomfort, you go make ihsan on your neighbor, you'll become a true Muslim. You tell to yourself, then leave that discomfort. Don't worry about my haq. Let me see how I can bring comfort to that person. Ahsin ila jari. Nabi Karim SAW emphasized so much on the rights of the neighbor that he mentioned on one occasion that Jibreel alayhi salatu came to me so many times. He told me about the right of the neighbor that I thought just now Jibreel will come and tell me when you pass away, your neighbor will be inheriting from your estate like how family people inherit from your estate. To that extent. And the fourth, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, you want to become a mu'min? You want to become a true pakka mu'min, true believer? أَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't only worry about yourself. Change your mindset that I shouldn't be the one asking for haqq. I should be the one that giving haqq. And if everybody have to change the attitude like that, let me be a giver, not a receiver, you automatically end up receiving. Everybody change. If the husband takes things to himself, then let me see to the haqq of the wife. The wife will say, let me see to the haqq of the husband. And then both of them concentrating on the huquq of one another, by human nature, it's natural. That now you won't be only the person that's giving, you're going to be receiving as well. But if you're going to say, my haqq, the wife is going to say, my haqq, the husband is going to say, my haqq, then it'll be only claiming the haqq, they won't get anything. They won't be giving, they won't be getting. And this is what Nabi Kareem has taught us. You want to become a true mu'min, then you consider the benefit, welfare of the next person. Brothers, the very short hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Abu Huraira that told to a sahaba, who will take from me these kalimat, these advices, practice on them. Or, if you can't practice on them, you heard the hadith, pass it over to others. Practice. Maybe you didn't practice on it, but you propagating the hadith, somebody will practice on it, you'll get the ajr and reward because you became the means of people practicing on this hadith. And once again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that to You want to become a greater abid? Stay away from haram. You want to become a completely independent person from people? Be happy with taqdeer. You want to become a true Muslim? Be good to your neighbor. You want to become a true mu'min, an honest, sincere mu'min? Then love for your brother what you love for yourself. May Allah grant us tawfiq to practice the hadith. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.